Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
And that's the key, isn't it, guys? Feeling beautiful. Good morning, everybody. You are with your important Chisara, and I hope everybody is feeling fabulous today. We have a wonderful guest speaker coming on in a moment, Jeanette from The Fat Chick. She's beautiful, she's bold, she's full-figured, and she owns it. And she's going to tell us all about keeping it healthy and embracing the body we live in. Before I get to that, I'm just going to touch a little basis on some of my own business. I am Sarah from The Importance of You, and I teach courses on how to embrace who you are by understanding who you are and where you are now, and letting go of what does not serve you. So taking off the fear, taking off the pain, taking away the drama, and embracing all your possibilities. If you want to go to my site, it is The Importance of You, and that is the letter U, folks, not Y-O-U, theimportanceofyou.ca. We're in Canada, so it's .ca. Check out the site, and you'll also be able to see who else is coming in June and the whole of July guest speaking that is coming on next month, and I've got some doozies. So I'm booked all the way up until September now. I have some fabulous people coming ahead for you in the future. So, embracing the body. I am a full-bodied woman. I am tall, I am big-framed, I am curvy, and I love it. Are there some things that I wish were, you know, a little less droopy? You know, you get to my age and you've had three children, some things start going south. I haven't got great physicality in my body at the present moment, so doing a lot of exercise is not something that is really what my body is enjoying at the present time. But it does come into loving your body virtually. I do believe that you can actually, if you can't physically work out, you can virtually work out. And it still means that you've got to love your body no matter what. I remember Mae West. If you look at the old movies of Mae West, she was a big, voluptuous, curvy woman. But she knew how to strut her stuff. She knew how to move that body. She knew how to turn that tone on and come up and see me sometime. And she had men flocking after her. It was in the embracement of self. It was in her attitude. It was in that sheer oozing of sensuality of being a woman. Yes, we can rock being that sexual goddess, being a big woman. If you'd like to call in today, Jeanette and I would love to answer any of your questions or hear any of your statements. The number is 1-877-296-0345. Okay, folks, we would love to hear from you. Jeanette, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Good morning, my darling. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much. How are you?
I'm feeling fabulous, actually. It must be something to do with the sun, and there's certainly been a shift in the vibration out there, and I can feel it, and I'm loving it.
Oh, yes, it's certainly shifted to the summer place, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. And also the just a whole load of really good people like yourself coming on the show, and it's all about liberating people, setting them free, and doing it one show at a time. So I'm very, very happy to have you on the show and having people embrace their bootylicious. So tell me how you got into being the Fat Chick, which in itself, I love the way you've titled yourself, because you've taken away that condensation of the Fat Chick, and you're owning it, and you've made it beautiful, and you've made it righteous. What made you come up with that title?
You know, I think a lot of people have this idea about exercise, that if they exercise, they're going to look like a fitness magazine cover model. And for a few very genetically gifted people, that's the case. But for most of us, we're not going to look like that, even if we exercise a whole lot. So it's really important that I feel it's really important as an instructor that I give people realistic expectations of what fitness can do for them. And fitness can do a lot of amazing, amazing things for them. And they may look like a fitness magazine cover model, or they may look like me. But either way, they're going to have great advantages from starting to exercise.
It's really about the health, isn't it? It's, you know, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what I do. If I lose weight, I'll slowly go back up to a weight that I always seem to stay at. And it seems to be where my body is comfortable. So instead of fighting it with yo-yo diets, I think it's more important that we just eat well and look after our bodies with, you know, with whatever form of exercise that we can do.
I think so. And there's a lot of research that backs that idea up, that healthy behavior is much more important than body size in terms of overall predictions for health. You know, when before I became the fat chick, I went to the library and I was looking for another diet book, you know, the one that was going to get me to the magic weight. We all have one in our heads, like the magic weight or the magic number. And I came across an expose of the diet industry, and I started reading this research that shows realistically you have a 5 to 10% chance of losing a whole lot of weight and keeping it off. And, you know, I had put my life on hold because I didn't think I was thin enough to live the life I wanted. I thought, well, first I'll get the perfect body, and then I'll start living my life. And, you know, I had enough college-level math to go, oh, dear, I'm giving myself, like, a 5 to 10% chance of ever starting my life. And those odds stink. I wouldn't bet those odds on a horse. I'm certainly not going to bet those odds on my life. And at
that
point,
you're shortchanging yourself.
I was, and at that point I decided, you know what, I'm going to focus on being healthy, but I'm not going to wait another day. I'm going to live the life that I always wanted, and I'm going to start right this minute. And that's what I did.
Excellent, and that's the attitude, isn't it? I mean, you know, we've all got something about us that we wish we didn't have. You know, we've all got certain challenges, you know. Oh, I'm not as bright as the other person. I'm not as thin as the other person. I'm not as blonde as the other person. And if we stop looking outwardly, to looking, you know, at what beauty is and what we think we should be, and start looking inwardly and embracing what we've got and working with what we've got, we can discover that goddess, that beauty, that sensuality, that empowerment within ourselves. And it's good that we see people like you out there that are saying, no, own it, love it, keep it healthy, which is great.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think part of it is looking within, but I think part of it is looking without, with different eyes, right? Because there's a sort of media ideal of what bodies should look like. And if you watch too much TV or you read too many magazines, fashion magazines, you get this notion in your head that's
that everybody's just
like
zero.
Right. But if you go out into the world and you open your eyes and you go to a public beach or you go to a neighborhood gym or you go to the grocery store and you really look around, you'll see that there's a great variety of diverse body types, different people who look different ways, tall, short, fat, skinny, different skin tones, different hair colors, different eye colors, and that there is beauty in that diversity, and that not everybody has to look the same. Yeah.
Right. I like, you know, I hear that size 14 was the most standard size in North America for a woman.
Yes, size 14 on the bottom and size 12 on the top. That's
uh-huh.
the average.
Okay, right. And, you know, there again, I think an awful lot of it comes down. I actually love watching What Not to Wear because, you know, half the time when people have body issues, they wear tents, you know, big, huge, oversized T-shirts, and they try and hide themselves. And when they actually learn to enhance the best and, you know, deviate from the areas that they don't really want to highlight, they can look beautiful, and I love seeing the transformation of these women when they start embracing their bodies, start embracing, you know, the hair, the makeup, and they, you know, get out there and they start owning their lives and owning themselves again. And I think a lot of the time people need to look at, don't hide, you know, celebrate, and, you know, allow yourself to be out there.
In my book, The Fat Chick Works Out, we talk about that a little bit in, we call it coming out of the fat closet, right? Because there's a certain... There's a certain person that believes that, you know, if they wear certain things or if they claim to do certain things, that they can sort of work around the fact that they're fat. And there is something incredibly freeing about just coming out of the fat closet and using that word and saying, yeah, I'm fat, okay, what's the next topic, and just getting on with it. I think one thing that we see in terms of the fat closet is that a lot of people who are in the fat closet wear black clothes all the time because they've heard that they're slimming, and they always look like they're going to a funeral. And, I mean, that's a choice. You know, that's a certain sort of New York society art critic choice, but there's so many colors out there and fabrics and beautiful different patterns that you can wear. And I have found that a lot of times when women come into their bodies and they own their bodies, they lose the funeral wardrobe and they really embrace the beauty with colors and textures and different things.
I mean, that's something you see on the show. Everybody's wearing these dull colors to try and fade into the background, and all of a sudden they're wearing these great, beautiful, big, bold pieces of, you know, of art on their bodies. And, you know, this, you see the posture change, you see the ownership change, and it's like, you know, these, if you're, you know, are a bigger, taller woman, you know, these big, beautiful, bold patterns that not everybody could wear. A skinny person couldn't ever wear it. And being a bigger person, you can, and you, you know, you walk around like that piece of art. So, you know, we've got to embrace what we have, work with what we have, and, you know, use this canvas and make it the best that it can be. So tell me a little more about your book. Is it about just embracing? Is it about exercising? Do you cover everything in there?
The book is really has two parts. It's sort of getting you ready to start exercising and then helping you develop a 12-week program. So it takes you week by week through a 12-week program that is based on what you can do, based on your current capabilities, and helps you slowly and gently and safely ramp up to a higher level of fitness. But it deals with all three components. It deals with the physical components of exercise, the mental sort of intellectual components of exercise, the research and the numbers, and then the spiritual components of exercise and what is getting in your way and how to learn how to get the most you can from exercise.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I remember my ex-husband is Chinese. And I remember when I first started dating him, we went to see a lot of Bruce Lee movies, who was brilliant, you know, he was fantastic. And he had this kind of sidekick that was in a few movies with him that I don't remember his name, but I know he went by a character called Wong. This was a great big, huge guy. And he looked kind of rather, you know, blubbery. And, you know, you think, oh, he's never going to be able to do anything. He's the comic relief. And then he would get into his kung fu acts, and this guy flew. He flew. He had such energy. He got such heights. He did such moves. And it was just like he must be filled with air to get those heights. And, you know, people are under the assumption that if you're bigger, you know, you're grounded. And that's not the case.
Well, he's not filled with air. He's filled with some serious muscle, because that's what allows you to jump and leap that way, is to have a lot of muscle mass. And he's probably really strong under that soft layer on the top.
Exactly.
You know, one thing that people can do is with my friend Reagan Chastain, we created a thing called the Fit Fatties Forum, and that's at fitfatties.com. And there's just hundreds of pictures of athletes of size doing all kinds of amazing things, from marathon running to kayaking to deep sea diving to everything you can imagine. And it's really inspirational to just see all of these vibrant, beautiful, strong, healthy people doing their thing.
And if you think about it, you know, in the past, it was the big, you know, huge guy that was the one that would be your protector, right? So,
you know,
that big size and that muscle there. So, you know, why we can't have it with women. I don't know if you're familiar with the show Glee, which I think is great, some brilliant talent on there. And you've got the coach, who is a bigger woman, who, you know, was portrayed as never feeling that she's worthy of love because she looks masculine and she's big. And I think it's beautiful that they actually brought that story into that, that everybody is beautiful and everybody is deserving of love, and that, you know, don't judge somebody by the exterior. You know, look into them and, you know, understand who they really are. And for a lot of people that haven't yet embraced their exterior, I think if people extend that love to their interior, the exterior will then glow. So it's a part and parcel of working both in and out with people.
I think that's true, yes. I think so.
So you have these online programs you do with people?
I do a variety of different programs. You can access them all from my website, which is www.thefatchick.com. That's not just any fat chick now. It's the fat chick.
The fat chick.
And
yeah, baby. It.
And I have, there's a lot of programs on there, including streaming exercise. So on Thursdays and Saturday mornings, you can work out with me and my class, and that's totally free. And you just go to the website, and you can tune in and exercise with us. You can even dial in and talk to us and tell us how you're doing. And then I also have, like, personal training classes where I can do either in-person or via Skype, I can do personal training for people. So those are some things I offer.
I mean, that's the beauty of the Internet. We can reach around the world. So, you know, I know that this has a domino effect on my show, definitely getting over into New Zealand, Australia, England, and, of course, throughout Canada and the States. So, mm-hmm. you know, there isn't any excuse. You don't need to go and get down to your local gym. You can do it from the comfort of your home. Just plonk yourself in front of the computer. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a full way of reaching people.
I think that's true, and I think it's important. You know, some people are not comfortable in a gym environment, and that's okay. It's really important when you decide what kind of workout you're going to do to find an environment that feels both physically and emotionally safe for you to do that exercise in. So
yes.
For somebody who's not really ready to go to the gym, not comfortable with that yet, a home workout is a great way to start. You know, they could also do my DVD, which is a 12-week progressive program, just like the book is. So that's another opportunity for them to work out at home.
Can you give me the success story that's blown your mind?
Success story that's blown my mind. You know, I have one student that comes to my mind who, when he started with me, he really had trouble walking from the car to the class. He had a lot of mobility issues. He was really deconditioned, and he's a big guy. And, you know, I said to him when he started, okay, that's fine. You come, you walk to the class, that's your workout for today. And we just very, very slowly and gradually helped him increase his fitness level. And in the period of about 7 months, he was able to exercise 3 hours a week. And it just really opened up his whole life in terms of being able to take the kids to the amusement park and being able mm-hmm. to go dancing with his spouse again. It really offered a new sense of freedom for this man in terms of
yes.
all the things that he could have in his life. But it was just, he started out that very small step, you know, the step from the car to the door, and then we just worked from there, and his progress was amazing.
That's something I always address with my clientele. I can't help you until you are of free will. You have to be willing to close the door on all that does not serve you, and you have to be willing, that is the permission, for me to help you to move forward, because it means you're going to work with me. Him getting out of that car and walking to that door was his statement that I'm now placing a value on my life, and I want to be able to move forward. And people have to understand they need to make that statement in order for anyone to be able to help them.
I think that's very true, and I think that's an important thing. But I also think it's very important that you review the people that are going to help you with a critical eye, because there's a lot of physical trainers out there
yes.
that really don't know what they're doing. And I know that I've personally been injured by some of them before
mm-hmm.
I became trained as a trainer. I had some really horrendous physical trainers that tried to get me to do way too much, way too fast, and
yes.
Treated me with contempt, and I got hurt. And so I think it's very important that you arrive open-minded and willing to work, but I also think it's important that you keep your common sense and your instincts engaged, because
yes, exactly.
it's your body. You know, nobody knows
yeah.
what's going on in your body as well as you
yeah.
know your own
and
body.
And this kind of push to the breaking point isn't going to serve anybody. You know, it's push to the highest limit you can go, but if you don't listen to your body, it's going to retaliate. So we do have to take that ownership and listen to our bodies.
I think that's
And the
true.
Other thing Sorry, and it's just I want to go back to a point of you know, the research on the people. Somebody made a statement the other day that people only give a sight 7 seconds. which I find absolutely ludicrous. If you cannot spend the time to look at a site, to read what is there, to get a feeling of what that person is offering, then you actually don't deserve that person's time in order to help you. If you think everything is going to be 7 seconds, then you're never going to put the work into anything because you're looking for a quick fix. And if you do want to find that person that fits you, you do need to look at the site, you do need to look at the testimonies, you do need to speak to the person because you need to find out, is there a fit? So take some responsibility in assessing who that person is and can you work with them, and don't assume and don't judge on a site on how pretty the front cover is.
I think that's true. And I also think that in terms of taking a physical fitness class, you really should be able to try before you buy. So it's a really good idea to either sit in on a class or try a class before you sign up for the class to see if it's right for you and if it's right for your body. That's, you know, it's your money. That's your right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also, you know, how they get on with you or who, you know, whoever is teaching a class. You know, you've got to feel comfortable. You know, whenever you feel vulnerable, you want to know that you're safe in that vulnerability with someone, that that person isn't going to, as you say, try and whip you into shape because you're fat. You know, instead of working with your body on making sure it's healthy and that, you know, if the weight will come off, it will come off. If it's a question of toning and living with your body, that's okay, but it's how to eat right, how to exercise right, how to live happily in your body. And I think that's, you know, you've got the Biggest Loser, which I think is great for, you know, for those people. But it isn't always about that.
I don't think the Biggest Loser is great.
I think
it's very dangerous. I mean, those practices that are shown on that television show are not approved by any medical body or any physical fitness group in the world is not going to approve the things that they do on that show. Because that show is really not... You know, they recommend 1 to 2 pounds of weight loss a week, but that would make a pretty boring show, right? So they're losing way more than that. And you have to keep in mind with something like that, that a show like that is not about health, it's about ratings. And you have to consider the source. So I really don't like that show. I don't really think that the program that they recommend on that show is really right or helpful for anybody.
But it's also not feasible for anybody else. You know, you might inspire some people to kind of start doing something, but then they could go and do something that's not, that it becomes a detriment to their body because they're not doing it right. And they're thinking that they need to just push, push, push. And they really need to work with somebody that not only helps them tune into their own body, but also knows how far they can take it.
I think that's true. And I also think that the Biggest Loser, the whole premise is based on shame. You're broken, so now we're going to fix you. And I don't think
it's beautiful if you're kidding.
Yeah, in my experience, that doesn't work in the long term. It might work for a couple of weeks or months, but in the long term, if you really want to make a change, it has to start from a place of love, not from a place of disdain or disgust or hate.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. I do have a quick note on a friend of mine called Liz who had become a bigger woman due to the stresses in her life. And, you know, had an illness that kind of stopped her short. And then just one day she started getting out walking, and that walking turned to running. And every single day she's out there running, you know, kilometers and miles every day. And she has lost probably about 150 pounds from doing this. But more importantly for her, it's what that running does for her, that form of exercise does for her. She finds sanctuary in it. She finds release in it. She finds liberation and freedom in it, and the way it makes her feel afterwards in the way to embrace life. So for a lot of people, you know, exercise is a way to get rid of any form of negativity or angst or frustration in your body, to let, you know, let go of whatever that those chemicals are, and embracing the empowerment within. So I think that... you know, exercise not only just good for the body, but I think it's also good, you know, for the spirit and the soul, and a way of helping you cope with things in your life.
I think I totally agree. And, you know, if everything that you could get from exercise could be put into a pill, every person in the world would be on that pill. The things that exercise does for you, it helps alleviate the problems of depression. It helps lift your mood. It helps reduce stress. It helps regulate blood sugar. It helps regulate your heart rate. Gives you, you know, better breathing capacity. It gives you better sleep. It gives you better sex life. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but exercise does so many things for you. It's really amazing.
So it's finding that exercise that you, that works with you and working slowly into it. Now, here's a question for you. I mean, I have fibromyalgia, plus I have something called meniscal pain, which causes all my muscles to traumatize and tense up. So when I do any, I can do some walking, and some days I'm okay, and other days I'll pay for it. But for a person like me, and obviously a lot of bigger people do have things like arthritis or diabetes, et cetera, that are, you know, a challenge in that exercising. So what would you do for people like us and to help us, you know, get into it without our bodies shutting down?
Well, I think that's a really great question, and I work with a lot of students that have fibromyalgia or have rheumatoid arthritis or have different muscular skeletal issues. I would recommend that you just start very, very slowly and gently. Like my DVD program, as I mentioned, it's a 12-week program, but the first week is about a 10-minute workout, and if you haven't worked out in a long time, that's enough. Start small.
Yes.
And then, you know, very, very gradually add a little bit more, add a little bit more. They recommend that you don't increase any more than 10% per week. So if I worked out for 10 minutes this week, then that means I can bump it up to 11 minutes next week, not 20 minutes this week and 40 minutes the week after that. So you need to increase very slowly and gently, and you need to learn to tune into your body and listen to what your body's telling you, because you're not going to have the same capabilities every day. If you're dealing
right.
with anything like if you have COPD or other asthma-related issues, there are environmental mm-hmm. factors that are going to weigh into how well you're going to do that day. Even the humidity can be a key factor for exercisers. So the important thing is that you do what your body can do on that day, and it's not about judgment. It's about, well, this is where I am today, and maybe tomorrow I'll feel better, or maybe tomorrow I won't be able to do even quite as much as today. But it's about where you get in the long run, where you get over
right.
time, where you average out is the key thing. And just breaking it into small enough segments so that you can feel like a success every time you
so
work out.
So a lot of it is take this, you know, the stigma of the sergeant major and, you know, get your ass into gear. 1, 2, 1, 2, give me 20. You know, I mean, that's a lot of the times the way people look at exercise, and that's one of the reasons why they stay clear of it, because they actually do feel that, you know, people are going to put them through that regimen. We've got 1 minute here left, love. So if you, for 1 minute, want to tell us quickly more about, again, your site, your program, and how people can get hold of you.
So my book is called The Fat Chick Works Out, and my DVD is the same title, and you can get them at www.thefatchick.com. You can also access my personal training programs there and my live free streaming classes. And I would just urge everybody to just get out there and move the body they have.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on. I know that for some people it's a touchy subject. I'm going to have a few touchy subjects on my radio show over the next few months. And, you know, a lot of it is like, let's get over ourselves, folks. You know, let's drop that that stigma over everything down, because that has been something that's been imposed on us through our lives. And we need to take that imposition away and make choices for ourselves within our own light, within our own empowerment. So I thank you so much for being on, Jeanette. I hope everybody is encouraged to go to your site. I know I certainly am going to do so. And I thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, my dear. So next week I have Jenny Garrett from England talking about Rocking Your Role. This is a wonderful new book which is all about being a female breadwinner and the obstacles, the balances, the stigma. And it's a how-to book, and it helps you go through and how to be that breadwinner and embracing the empowerment of yourself. It's a fabulous book. She's a great woman in England, and she'll be on the show next week. So tune in, folks. I'd love to hear from you.